And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, currently marking its year of dedication. Our dramatic program today, A Rhode Island Refuge, written by Morton Wishengrad, is the first in a series of 13 programs on American Jewish regional history, presented in observance of the 20th year of the Eternal Light program series.
They call it the old Jewish cemetery of Newport. From Narragansett Bay, the land breeze rustles in the trees, and the Rhode Island sun is clean and friendly on our graves. They sleep so still beside me. Once so long ago, they fled from Spain and Portugal, fled before the Inquisition, and they wandered over the earth again. And here in Rhode Island, they found refuge. And now they sleep. A final refuge, the last exodus. The headstones mellow in the rain. Lopez, Alvarez, Levy, Seixas, Turo. But over my grave there is no tablet, only a nameless stone the color of earth. It does not matter. The grass is my comfort, and it is warm and green and living. And yet, once I had a name, and also a history. My name was Mordecai, a good name, and Benjamin was my father, a good man. And in the year 1760, when I was a boy, my father read to me from the Bible.
It hath been told thee what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, only to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God.
We walked gladly with God, and we sang his praises in the new synagogue on Britain Street. And why not? For in Rhode Island, there was reverence for God and reverence also for men, which is a fine thing. It was not so in the other colonies, where Puritan persecuted Quaker, and Anglican opposed the Catholic, and both opposed the Jew. My father told me this, and also how 23 Jews came to New Amsterdam and how Peter Stuyvesant nearly turned them away. And he told me also how others came to Rhode Island and what Roger Williams said.
All men may walk here as their consciences persuade them, and everyone in the name of his God.
And for five generations after Roger Williams, we found sustenance in his words. And the colony of Newport prospered greatly, even beyond New York and Philadelphia. Aaron Lopez sent his ships far to the whale fishery. Jacob Rivera introduced candles of spermaceti. James Lucena made soap such as had been made before in Castile. And some were silversmiths and iron workers and merchants and simple farmers. And Benjamin, my father, was likewise a merchant with a shop on Long Wharf. I remember still how he quarreled with Meyer Pollock and why it came to pass.
10 casks of nails.
Check.
15 bushels of wheat.
Check.
100 pewter basins.
Check.
1 looking glass.
Check.
6 barrels of molasses.
Benjamin, 6 barrels of molasses.
I heard you.
Well?
I don't like it.
You talk, someone might think molasses isn't kosher.
I want no part.
Oh, don't be foolish.
Molasses means rum, doesn't it?
Of course.
And rum means slaves, doesn't it?
What if it does? You're not trading in slaves.
Why not, Meyer?
Who
cares why not?
I care because it is written, thou shalt not abhor an Edomite, for he is thy brother.
Many things are written, and you can lose your mind trying to live up to it all.
Meyer, are you a Jew?
What has that got to do with it?
You can't be half a Jew or a quarter of a Jew or a fifth of a Jew. You have to do what is written.
Look here, don't tell me what to do. I go to the synagogue every day, as good as any man. I don't mix milk and meat. And I have faith in the Torah.
Faith isn't enough. You cannot be a Jew only with your lips. You're a Jew every hour, every moment, in every act.
Excuse me, Benjamin. When I need a sermon, I listen to Rabbi Toro. And when I want to do business, I won't come here.
I'm not quarreling with you, Meyer, but I won't deal in molasses when it's the blood of the slave trade.
Is that your last word?
If you wish.
Then goodbye.
Goodbye, Meyer.
They did not speak much to one another after that, and then they grew stiff-necked and did not speak at all. My father suffered for it, for how can a man bear to see injustice done without crying out? Yet how can a man protest to one who will not listen? My father's business did not go well, but Meyer Pollock prospered. His ships went forth to Jamaica and Barbados, and they came back laden with good things. He dealt in molasses and in rum, and once my mother said,
"Perhaps he's in the slave trade, Benjamin."
Bring the bread to the table, Rachel.
Well, it's only what people say.
People should learn not to slander a good man's name.
Did you ever hear of a rich man who was good?
Or a poor man's wife who wasn't envious?
Oh, be still, Benjamin. Here's the bread.
Wash your hands, Mordecai.
He's already washed. Say the blessing, Benjamin.
Blessed art thou, O Lord, King of the universe, who bringest forth bread out of the ground.
Amen. Benjamin.
Yes?
Isn't it true about Meyer?
No, it isn't true. We're no longer friends, and I know he talks against me, but it isn't true. The Jews of Newport do not deal in slaves. Now go ahead and eat your supper, Rachel. Well, Mordecai, do you need a special invitation? Eat your supper.
My mother ate her supper and smiled into her plate. Then, when she looked up and saw my father, and saw that he saw her also, her eyes were wet. And I was glad for him and for her, and for myself that I was their son. And as I grew older and took my place with the men in the synagogue, I saw that my father was as he was because he was bred to the Talmud, and my respect for the law of Israel did not diminish. And it happened many years later that Meyer Pollock lost his ships at sea and all his merchandise with them, and my father went there.
Oh, it's you. What do you want?
I've heard of your loss, Meyer.
Get out.
Meyer.
Get out. You're gloating outside.
I'm not gloating, Meyer.
No?
No. You're wiped out. Let me help.
I really believe you mean it. Benjamin, you are a fool.
I don't have much to give, but take it.
Thanks, Benjamin. I shouldn't have called you a fool.
Why not? I suppose I am.
Well, a good fool, then. You never did believe I dealt in slaves, did you, Benjamin?
No, I didn't.
I didn't, you know. I could have, but I didn't. Once I tried, Benjamin, and then one day I found the book on a chair. Open. And the page was Leviticus. It stared at me.
I know the place.
Do you? It said something about not making your brother serve as your bondservant. Of all pages in the Bible, Benjamin, it had to be open at that one.
For they are my servants whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as bondsmen.
That's it. Benjamin, I thought you ought to know.
I'm glad you told me.
You'd better go now. If you stay any longer, I'll become a fool.
Like me, Meyer?
Like you, Benjamin. God willing.
There were many
things my father said as I came to manhood, and I do not remember that anything he told me was false or insincere or said merely for the sake of pious display. Each morning, after prayers, he went to his shop on Long Wharf, and I went with him. And on Sabbath Eve, my mother would light the candles and make the benediction, and we would go together to the synagogue. Sometimes, on the Sabbath, after services, we would take the long way home and go among the quays and watch the boats dipping in the harbor and listen to the water slapping against the piles. How well I remember it. The Jews of Newport walking homeward, neat in their Sabbath dress, hungry for the warmed-over Sabbath meal. And our Christian neighbors stopped to shake a hand or to murmur a friendly good Sabbath. And within our house, there was peace and serenity and a table laden with good things. I wonder sometimes whether we are ever fated to have peace and serenity for long. For the colonies were impatient under the restrictions and the taxes of the crown, and soon there was a feeling of tension and a sense of impending trouble which made the Sabbath bitter as Mara.
There's no reason that it can't be settled now.
Please, not all at once.
Now it should be settled.
That's better, isn't it?
Let's do this thing democratically. We're here to make up our minds on some action, definite action. Moses Sages, you haven't said anything.
I'll stand with the others, Benjamin.
You can count on me, Benjamin. We'll buy no British tea, pay no British taxes, import no British goods.
How about you, Isaac Hart? Do you go along?
You know my opinion.
Well, I'm not sure that we do.
It hasn't changed.
Suppose you tell us.
All right, I will. All my life I've known you. I've broken bread with you. Our children have grown up together. We've liked each other, respected one another.
Get to the point, Isaac. Thy yes must be true and thy no must be true. One must not say one thing with his mouth and another in his heart.
You've become quite a scholar of the Talmud, Meyer Pollock.
I'm no Tory, if that's what you mean.
And I'm no rebel. I side with England. England is where I was born. England has done me nothing but good. What reason
would I
have?
But you live in Rhode Island.
Yes, I see.
This is a democratic meeting. Everyone wants to talk and no one wants to listen.
Let him speak. Go ahead, Isaac.
You are all at this very moment guilty of rebellion.
Can you tell us what liberty has ever been established without rebellion?
I see, Meyer. You are not only a scholar, you're also a philosopher.
Meyer, sit down, please. Isaac, let's speak without anger. We are friends here. We can settle our opinions quietly. This is our synagogue. It is unseemly to raise our voice here.
Yes, you are right. But every Jew in Newport is turned against me. Why? Because I am loyal to England? Would Roger Williams have been able to found Rhode Island colony if not for English tolerance? Would Spain have permitted you to live here unmolested? Don't you see the consequences of your rebellion? There may be bloodshed.
Some things can only be settled in blood.
The words roll so easily from your tongue, Meyer. Before you quoted the Talmud to me, I can also quote.
I'm listening.
Look in the Talmud, Sanhedrin. If someone should say to thee, kill, or I will kill thee, it is better that you should be killed than to commit murder. Why don't you answer, Meyer?
Shall I answer for him, Isaac?
Yes, if you can.
Two answers, Isaac. The first, Moses said, shall your brethren go into the war, and shall ye sit here? The second you know also, Isaac, separate not thyself from the congregation.
You distort the meaning.
No, Isaac, the meaning is plain. The American colonies are your congregation. This is our place. We came here as the others came. We came for the same reasons. Pray God there will be no letting of blood, but if blood is to be spilled, our place is with the colonists.
Lexington came. We began to drill. Meyer and Moses Satius went among the townspeople collecting saltpeter and brimstone. The guns from Fort George were removed to Newport. Sentries were posted on the hills. And 2 full months before the Declaration of Independence, Rhode Island declared itself free and independent. And with Rhode Island stood the congregation of Newport. The young men took up arms.
Abraham Satius and Solomon Rofes and Moses Isaacs and many more, and I with them. Then there were battles, and many of the redcoats were slain.
Rejoice, Isaac Hart.
And why should I rejoice, Maya?
Because 100 redcoats have fallen.
When the angels began to sing as the Egyptians drowned in the Red Sea, God said, creatures of mine are drowning in the sea. How can you sing a song?
Maya Pollock raised his hand to strike him, and then his hand fell to his side and he turned away. Isaac Hart loved the king, and he did not fear to say so. He could have held his tongue, yet he would not. It came about that he was set on by a mob and killed. And even we who had sheltered the muskets of the Patriot Army mourned the passing of a man who suffered death for loyalty's sake. But during the fight, there is little time for mourning. It is only later, when the living go into the fields to count the dead, that men can truly mourn. I was ordered to join the 8th Massachusetts Regiment, and before I went, my father took his musket and gave it to me.
Take it, Mordecai. I'll try to use it well, Father. When you were a little boy, I read you a few lines from the prophet Micah. Do you remember, Mordecai?
I remember, Father. It has been told thee what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, only to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God.
I'm glad you remember. Now say goodbye to your mother and don't let her cry. And Mordecai.
Yes?
Be a good soldier for our people, Israel, and for America.
These were the last words I ever heard from my father's mouth. I went to war, and the congregation of Newport dispersed before the British invasion. The goods were burned, the warehouses emptied so that nothing could fall into the hands of the enemy. And then, after the terrible winter of Valley Forge, Moses Satius wrote me a letter.
My dear Mordecai, God be with you. My heart melts for thee, for I have nothing to give thee but bad news. Benjamin, your father, and Rachel, your mother, are no longer among the living. They went to settle in another place and to help the patriots, and a terrible sickness came like a plague and took them from the living. Mordecai, your father, was a good man. He was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame and a pillar to the synagogue. Truly, it is said, the hope of man is but the worm. May they rest in peace.
I said the Kaddish. It is not an easy thing for a soldier to say the mourner's prayer for the departed when the feet are naked and the body is cold, yet I tried to say it. I said it shivering in the mud and weary almost to death. And many years later, when the war ended, I returned to Newport and stood with Moses Satius in the synagogue Yeshuat Yisrael.
You see, the synagogue still stands.
Yes.
It will always stand, Mordecai.
Your faith is very great, Moses.
Well, why not? In America, faith is possible. President Washington came here, and he stood where you are standing.
Oh.
He saw the Ark of the Lord and the Holy Scroll, and he was pleased.
I'm glad.
He gave me a letter, Mordecai. You have fought your country's war. Now you have a right to hear why. This is Washington's letter.
Hmm. Will you read it to me, Moses?
Yes. To the Hebrew congregation in Newport, Rhode Island. The citizens of the United States of America have a right to applaud themselves for having given to mankind examples of an enlarged and liberal policy, a policy worthy of imitation. All possess alike liberty of conscience and immunities of citizenship. It is now no more that toleration is spoken of as if it was by the indulgence of one class of people that another enjoyed the exercise of their inherent natural rights. for happen. The government of the United States, which gives to bigotry no sanction, to persecution no assistance, requires only that they who live under its protection should demean themselves as good citizens in giving it on all occasions their effectual support.
Mm-hmm. Read on.
May the children of the stock of Abraham who dwell in this land continue to merit and enjoy the goodwill of the other inhabitants, while everyone shall sit in safety under his own vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid. May the Father of all mercies scatter light and not darkness in our paths, and make us all, in our several vocations, useful here, and in his own due time and way, everlastingly happy.
They call it the old Jewish cemetery of Newport. From Narragansett Bay, the land breeze rustles in the trees, and the Rhode Island sun is clean and friendly on our graves. Yes, they sleep so still beside me. Once, long ago, they fled from Spain and Portugal, but here they found a refuge. The names on the headstones are mellowed in the rain. And if I have no stone, it does not matter. For the grass is warm and green and living. And something else. The words, too, are living. The words a man called Washington addressed to the little Jewish congregation at Newport. The congregation that sleeps beside me.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Mortimer Marcus, prominent civic leader, member of the Board of Overseers of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, and member of the Board of Trustees of Congregation B'nai Jeshurun, New York City. Mr. Marcus.
The moving and symbolic story, which has just been enacted so beautifully, is especially significant at this time, on the occasion of the 200th anniversary of the construction of Newport Synagogue, the oldest Jewish house of worship now standing in America. This broadcast launches the American Jewish Regional History Series, which recreates past Eternal Light scripts. The series marks the 20th year of Eternal Light radio presentations by the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. And I sincerely feel that a Rhode Island refuge is a most fitting choice as the first of 13 such broadcasts. Today's story not only underscores the value of religious teaching, it also emphasizes that Jewish roots were planted in this country even before the American Revolution, and the Jews fought for and helped to win the precious independence, which is so dear to all of us. It is a potent reminder, too, that Jews always will help to preserve liberty and contribute to the advancement of human understanding. Although Newport Synagogue is the oldest edifice of its kind, the first Jewish congregation in this country is Congregation Sheret Israel, the Spanish and Portuguese synagogue, which now holds title to Newport Synagogue. Presently situated in New York City, Sheret Israel was formed in 1655, and its first house of worship was built in 1730 on Mill Street, which now is South William Street in New York. From these earliest synagogues, Jewish life in the United States grew steadily, overcoming much hardship and leaving a deep religious and ethical imprint on the character of our nation. The Newport Jews, loyal to their religion and ideals, joined with other patriots in creating our republic and nurturing its growth. The Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were based on principles first expressed in the Bible and in the teachings of religion. The Liberty Bell, sacred symbol of the Revolution, bears the challenging call to liberty taken from the Hebrew Scriptures. And you shall proclaim liberty throughout the land to all inhabitants thereof. In these days of world tension and racial strife in our own country, it becomes even more important that we rekindle the light of friendship and understanding. The founding fathers of this nation were God-fearing, religious men in whose breasts burned the love of freedom and equality. They believed that man was created in God's image, and they knew that justice and righteousness could not prevail unless the dignity of man was preserved. They imparted their fortitude and beliefs to their children by keeping alive the teachings of their religion. It is time now for all men to adhere to the principles of their religious teachings. It is time for all men to rededicate themselves to the tenets of democracy. And it would be well to remember the words of George Washington's prayer, which was so eloquently repeated on today's program. The government of the United States requires only that they who live under its protection should demean themselves as good citizens.
Thank you, Mr. Marcus. Our eternal light drama today, A Rhode Island Refuge, was written by Morton Wishengrad and presented on the occasion of the 200th anniversary of the dedication of the Touro Synagogue. Today's program was the first in a series of 13 programs on American Jewish regional history, marking the 20th year of the Eternal Light program series. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music. The cast featured Alexander Scorby as the narrator Mordecai and included Roger DeCoven, Santor Sotega, Bryna Rayburn, Arnold Moss, and Stotz Cotsworth. We invite you to join us next week when The Eternal Light presents Rebecca Gratz, a drama by Morton Wishengrad. This is Vic Robey. Our program was directed by Kenneth McGregor. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, currently marking its year of dedication.
This is the NBC Radio Network.